Hello, I'm Femi Oke. Welcome to the stream. Some Chinese citizens have had enough of the zero COVID policy that has been in place for the past 3 years. Free the country. They're chanting, free Xinjiang. We want the rule of law. We don't want to be locked up. We want freedom and we want to vote. In this episode of The Stream, we will look at the strict COVID policy and what's next for the anti-lockdown protests in China. Joining us to have that conversation, really good to see Yao, Dali, and also Anouk. Thank you for joining us, helping us understand these anti-COVID lockdown protests and what might happen next. Yao, please say hello to our audience around the world. Welcome back.
Hi, I'm Yao Wang. I'm a senior China researcher at Human Rights Watch.
Good to have you. Hello, Dali. Welcome. Please introduce yourself to our audience around the world.
Yeah, I'm Dali Yang. I'm a professor at the University of Chicago and also have been working on a book manuscript on China's decision-making regarding COVID.
Good to have you. And Anouk, welcome to the stream. Please say hello to our audience.
Hello, I'm Anouk Eiferham. I work for the Dutch Financial Daily and I work as a correspondent in Beijing.
So we've all experienced lockdown around the world to some degree. I know, audience, you are going to have a take on what is happening in China right now. Why are people protesting? The comment section is right here on YouTube. Be part of today's show. Anouk, you're based in Beijing. What is it like to be locked up, locked down periodically? Give us an example of your life.
Well, it's very unpredictable, I would say. I've had especially the past year, several in moments where I would be uncertain if I would need to be leaving maybe my compound because they might lock it down. So a couple of weeks ago, for instance, I got a notice that my compound was going to be locked down. And so I grabbed some stuff. I grabbed some stuff from a friend who was hiking that day. And she actually called me about this. And I just ran out and took my bike and then started to text friends, colleagues, if I could temporarily stay somewhere. I went first to the office because I woke up and went to the swimming pool to swim and take a shower there. Yeah. And from there on, I went. That's in practice and reality sometimes how these things go.
Dali, can you explain a zero COVID policy, what that means in terms of managing a region or managing a town? What does that mean for the citizens and the authorities?
Well, certainly after the lockdown of Wuhan, the Chinese leadership decided China could keep the virus at bay. Mm. And they have actually forced local authorities to take decisive measures to prevent the resurgence of the virus, the return of the virus. And China succeeded for the last two years, in particular for the first 2 years of the pandemic. And then, of course, with COVID mutating into Omicron variants, it just became much harder because the virus has become so much more contagious. And of course, this year, cities have struggled from Shanghai and other places. And that meant because they were under authority to lock down to prevent the outbreaks from spreading, they became even more excessive in adopting measures to lock people at home for long stretches of time. Students have been confined to campuses for the last few months, in particular, after they returned to school, and businesses were shuttered. Especially contact-based businesses, tourism, for example, restaurants and so on. Airlines have been flying at very low capacity. So a lot of those affecting all walks of life, but especially certain businesses, certain sectors, and certain areas of the country where, for example, Urumqi was under lockdown for virtually about 100 days.
So, Yao, I'm just thinking about the style of lockdown that is happening in China is so strict that sometimes the door, the front door, is blocked and locked from the outside. So even if you wanted to go outside, you couldn't do that. And then some of those instances have had left had led to tragedies. Can you tell me where this strict policy has then resulted in people dying, but not dying from COVID, dying because the lockdown has been so severe?
Yeah, I've seen so many stories of people, you know, posting online about what happened to them. And, you know, in some instances, people couldn't get to the hospital after they get a heart, you know, severe illness. Then some of them died. And then there are the people who have like regular need to access the hospital and like kidney dialysis, and they couldn't get to the hospital. Then there are the people who had food, you know, shortage issues. They couldn't get the food because of the delivery app was too busy. And then, you know, after you are out of a job for several months and you don't have money anymore, and those are the people who can get food because they can't pay for the food. So there are massive, massive sufferings and a lot of people posting on Chinese social media. And you have to know that censorship in China is very severe. So there are a lot of people who posted on social media, but, you know, they got removed later. And then people self-censor. So there are a lot of people who didn't even say anything online.
Anouk, go ahead.
Yeah.
What were you going to share?
Yeah, well, I think also you could see that, you know, there's such a lack of access to healthcare, actually. Several people who needed treatment, for instance, because they were sick or they had cancer or they needed medication, and they were just not allowed to go outside. Especially in Shanghai, there were many, many cases that were very, very tragic. I remember there was a nurse even who had asthma, and she needed to go to the hospital. She went to her own hospital where she worked, but she just wasn't allowed to get in, and she passed away that night. And so there were many more cases of people desperately needing to go to the hospital or with their kids. And first of all, it could maybe take hours, and then it was too late. And yeah, that's also people, where you see that people don't die actually of the virus, but indirectly just die because of the measures against it.
Dali, this is a problem. You looked at how China's been managing COVID, and you said they did really well for the first couple of years, but this sounds like it's so extreme that people are suffering from the lockdown, maybe not suffering from COVID.
Oh, absolutely. So when initially through Delta, for example, it's one or another city that came under lockdown, even for long stretches of time. Nationally, it was considered a small cost to pay for national health. But of course, as more and more cities, especially this year, have come under lockdown, and of course, more people got affected, then clearly, actually, public support for the lockdown has actually atrophied. Very often, what we find actually so sort of in China is that it's fine to lock down others. Many people prefer the lockdown when it's about other people. Mm. But when they themselves come under the lockdown, actually, they begin to complain.
I want to bring in some voice of protesters. We heard them at the beginning of the show in the chants that they were chanting, not necessarily about the lockdown, about freedom and being able to vote, which is really interesting. It's like you start with COVID and then where do you end? When people are brave and bold enough to go out onto the streets. Let's listen to two protesters. This is from November the 28th.
I think we just need to identify the close contacts or semi-close contacts, the people who might be infected. This is enough. We don't need a huge screening of the whole building. It's not necessary to be so meticulous.
In Shanghai, a lot of protesters have already been detained. They did it for everyone, for all of the people, for the delivery guys not to be locked in their apartments, for everyone to be able to receive medicines and food. We need to help these people. Free those people in Shanghai.
See, Anouk, you live in Beijing. So you, out of all of our guests, are living that experience when protesters say, maybe we don't have to be so strict. Maybe your whole building doesn't need to be locked down. So you have to grab your stuff and run out and work out, where am I going to stay for the next few weeks? Is there a better way now that you've lived through 3 years of a pandemic, Anouk, from your perspective?
Mm-hmm. Is there a better way to
manage to COVID? To have a life that isn't so unpredictable.
Yeah, well, I think the problem is with China, as the professor pointed out, like in the beginning, this worked very well to stamp out the virus, right, and to keep people safe and healthy. but what China didn't do and is finding another strategy. Vaccinating people, the vaccination rate is still very low. So about 85% of people are vaccinated. But if you go to the older age group above 60 and 80, that vaccination rate is even lower. And then they also didn't get a booster. So the booster rate is even like 66. The Chinese vaccines are also way less effective than, for instance, Pfizer. So the problem is there has not been working, you know, towards an exit strategy. So if you would open up, you see that the number of cases are rising. And there's an unpredictability because if you extrapolate the numbers, for instance, of the amount of deaths that happened in Hong Kong when they opened up and they loosened up, then for China, you could talk about not only like 100,000, but millions. So, of course, that is a very very scary perspective. So that's the problem, that China should really think about vaccinating people more, better, but they never really advocated for that.
I'm wondering, Dali, you go first. I have a thought that I'm wondering is COVID, from China's perspective, so much more dangerous than anywhere else in the world? Is there a greater fear of COVID than anywhere else? Do the Chinese authorities know something that we don't know in the rest of the world?
Well, the Chinese authorities clearly were deeply scared of the virus initially, and they reacted very vigorously. And of course, one of the most powerful emotions among humans is actually loss aversion. In fact, President Xi Jinping emphasized in September in 2020, never to surrender the achievements we have made. And of course, lockdowns were useful when there were no vaccinations, when in fact there was still a prospect of actually containing the virus, of course, not only in China, but globally. When both goals changed, both conditions changed, of course, China needed to change as well. And of course, the basic situation today is that the Chinese population is highly vaccinated and can be improved further. But overall, though, more than 90% of the population are vaccinated already. And of course, they have newer vaccines available today as well.
We have so many comments on YouTube. Yacho, can you help me with some of these comments? Instant reaction back very swiftly so we can address as many concerns as we can. So Regalize R says, lockdown is an issue. The negative part of it is that the poor will suffer the most. Yacho, your thoughts on that?
Absolutely. I think the protests, a large portion of people who protested was because they didn't have money. They couldn't go to work because they could not go to work. So they couldn't pay for the food. They couldn't pay for their rent. They couldn't pay for their children's education. So obviously, the lockdowns across the world affects the poor worse than affects the people who are privileged. And in China, it's manifested in many aspects of your daily life. And especially, China lacks social protections and, social security,
yes,
access to healthcare. It's not, equal.
I'm so glad you said that because Robinson is asking this. How is this lockdown impacting people with disabilities? For example, people who rely on grocery delivery. I am in the States, I'm blind, and it's very difficult. It would be very difficult for me to adjust. That is a really good point, because if you don't have that social network, that's the social services, how are people managing? Anouk, thoughts?
Yeah, I mean, the community usually needs to be responsible for that. So every community has a community committee that will be in charge of delivering the food. But there have been several instances where elderly people who don't have a family, who don't have a social network, were found because they died because of lack of food. So that is very hard. I cannot even think how difficult it must be for disabled people to, live in this stage in the country. I think that it is very, very difficult.
And one more.
Well,
Dali, go ahead, please.
Yeah, technically, the local governments are supposed to be a good job of supplying, helping people who are in lockdowns. But of course, lockdowns, including in Shanghai, were imposed summarily, and in fact, it caused severe shortages. It made much more difficult for people. And it's not just actually the poor, but also even high-income people made it difficult for them to gain access to food and so on. So as a result, there was starvation and, of course, a lot of other shortages as well that affected the lives of the people.
I mean, this is horrifying that a policy that is now 3 years old is not working in a way that is smoother, that is humanitarian, now that the knowledge is known about what happens when we are separated from each other or locked down. Dali, are you seeing that the policy is changing slightly, or is it just lockdown? That's it.
Well, China is beginning to pivot to a mitigation strategy. There is widespread, a shared sense that the lockdowns is passé in a way. China needs to move beyond it. And part of the reason is because there are various vested interests that have developed to profit from the lockdowns, to profit from the testing, to profit from the, in fact, the quarantine, the building of quarantine quarters as well. So as a result, actually, the Chinese leadership over the last few days, and partly in response to the protests as well, but they have been actually studying and developing strategies. So they are actually reducing the requirements on testing, and they are making it easier for some people to stay at home during quarantine as well. So this is actually the beginning of the transition away from the zero COVID regime in China.
Xinlu asks...
Oh, I really hope that.
Yes,
though.
I know. Yeah, sorry, yeah. Please, Anu, please.
Yeah. I mean, that is true. We've seen some, releasement and some relief. The problem, of course, is that the national government leaves this up to the local government. And the problem is that the local governments then all have a different kind of policy. So, and it causes a lot of confusion. So this neighborhood will do that, and that neighborhood does that, and this city does this, and then that province has other rules again. So it makes it also really, really confusing and very unpredictable again. For instance, if you want to travel or if you want to go somewhere, you don't know if, what is the rule? Am I quarantined or not? Like today you were quarantined, yesterday not. Today you have to need 3 tests, tomorrow not. So, I mean, yeah, it's great that they're lifting that. And I'm really, I'm trying to get a little bit more hopeful. At the same time, we've seen this in a couple of weeks ago when they ease up some stuff, and then the number of cases skyrocketed, and then they made a U-turn back. So it's not really, I'm still waiting for, a very, very better and clear policy where the national government will say, look, this is going to be the strategy. This is the path. We're going to do it like this. These are the phases we're going through. This is the result. This is the effect. But that's not what's happening.
I'm going to bring in a Shanghai resident, excuse me, Dali, a Shanghai resident, she's 83, and she's seeing maybe the beginning of the loosening of the lockdown policy, the zero COVID policy, and she is concerned. Let's have a listen, let's have a look.
I am old now and afraid to be vaccinated. I look like I'm in good health, but I have a pretty serious illness. I have a disease in my lungs. But if the doctor thinks I can get vaccinated, I will do it. I will be pretty worried if pandemic restrictions are eased, especially for the elderly who haven't been vaccinated. And if it opens up, it will be more troublesome for old people to get this disease. Right now, the state is still providing vaccines, so protect yourself. The state cares about you, and it will get better.
So, Dali, one of our viewers was wondering about the effectiveness of the vaccine that the Chinese population have access to. It appears to be a lower efficacy than some of the vaccines that are available outside of China. Your thoughts about that? Is that going to be a problem?
It is part of the problem, but in fact, we do know there is good clinical data from Hong Kong in particular showing that the inactivated virus vaccines produced and widely applied in China and also across the world, they are effective against severe diseases. But they are, however, a 3-dose vaccine. 2 doses do not do the job very well. And also, they have very little effect on cutting transmission in comparison to the mRNA vaccines, which have also become less effective, but nonetheless have some effects. Mm-hmm. So overall, but China is introducing additional vaccines at this moment. So there are possibilities of mixing and matching vaccines. There is, however, a big problem. When China began to introduce vaccines, they didn't test the vaccines on the elderly. And also because of the successes of the zero COVID regime at that point, the elderly did not take up the vaccines at that point. And it's totally understandable. But of course, now it has become a serious factor, and the Chinese government has introduced policies to push for elderly vaccination at this moment.
I'm going to share something on
but they also didn't promote it.
Yeah.
So that's another problem. So they didn't promote it, and they didn't say and make it say to the elderly people a massive public campaign like go vaccinate and it's safe and you can do it and you won't be sick of it. So it's very clear and understandable that these elderly people are worried and afraid about it. I remember in my own country in the beginning, everybody was also very suspicious of the vaccines. Like, what's it going to do to me, to my body? And okay, I need a booster shot. Oh, what's it going to do to me? So,
yeah. And if you've been kind of really cosseted away from COVID, the moment anybody has a case of COVID, everything locks down. The idea of the cases going up is going to be terrifying for people.
And also, I want to mention...
Yes, Yacho, go ahead.
You know, the beds in the ICU per person in China is much smaller than the beds at the ICU in Western countries. Mm-hmm. So if they just open up, a lot of people get sick, then those people don't get adequate access to medical care. So that would be a huge problem if they just open up at once.
Yeah, it's got to be so gradual and so careful. Yacho, I want to bring you back to how I started, which was with protesters. I want to show you this on my laptop, which is protesters enchanting. So have a look here. On my laptop, everybody, very good. Down with the party, down with Xi Jinping, free Xinjiang, people taking photographs and videoing themselves. And then this comment here, for those who haven't spent much time in China recently, the density of cameras in this part of Shanghai is incredible, easily dozens per block. Police will be going through to find the main instigators and arrest them away from the protests. Real bravery to show a face here. These protesters seem to have changed the zero COVID policy. Seems to be eased up a little bit. Yacho, what do you think will happen to the people that we're looking at right here?
I mean, there already have been reports of people being detained, harassed by police for going to the protest scene. And I have people in China told me that they thought they went to the protest scenes anonymously, but then later got harassed by the police. So how did the police know that they went to the protest thing? Of course, I mean, it's possible because of the tracking component of China's mobile phone. So there are other or official recognitions. So the police has the capability to find who went to the protests and then, you know, take actions against them.
Dalia, I'm wondering in your looking at how China is handling COVID, whether you've noticed with these protests that the way authorities are looking at COVID has changed the way politics is being done in China. Can you say that COVID has changed the way politics is being played?
Oh, absolutely. And of course, the not always in the most welcome ways as well. Uh-huh. And of course, so far, zero COVID has really elicited a lot of repression, very repressive practices among the localities. It actually requires some central intervention to unseize up the localities, so to speak, actually. But at the same time, clearly, the central authorities themselves have also an interest in managing this process. So zero COVID and the kind of party state stability maintenance actually really go together. And in a way, that's unprecedented in other countries. So that's why most other countries have had to open up much earlier, whereas China, with the party state and the stability maintenance, can carry on zero COVID for such a long time. Mm-hmm.
Dali and Anouk and also Yacho, thank you so much for bringing your perspective, your experience to our show today. We're looking at the anti-zero COVID protests happening in China, where they are right now, what the impact may well be, and how does China move on from a lockdown situation to opening up the country. We will keep watching the news, keep watching the protesters. Thank you so much for being part of today's show. Appreciate you. Take care.